1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, immigration officers with an arrest, 32 men in all living on the island, all sought for deportation. Serious crimes all involving sexual offenses. And here to talk about it, Joe Jacqueline, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, It's the Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide to New Investigators, edition number 3. You hear him on Fridays in his regular shift at 7:05, the Crime Report, but a special one today. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm well. A couple of stories. We'll start with this. The deportation, and, you know, when I heard this story, Joe, I was absolutely incensed in the fact that, you know, we talk with officials up in Albany and legislative leaders, and to get the job done regarding sex offenders and the registry and pushing it and extending it from 20 to 30 years. You and I have spoken about this before. They can't get it done. I was on the phone with Dean Murray yesterday, an assemblyman out of the 3rd District. He'll be on with us tomorrow. And he's one of the leaders trying to push this legislation through. It always falls short. And this type of stuff yesterday just ticks me off to no end, Joe.
Well, certainly. And you know what, Jay? I mean, I think a lot of people are waking up this morning. They're reading the newspaper, and they're saying, you know, if you look at the list of the crimes that these guys are responsible for, raping 4-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. I mean, the crimes are just outrageous. And I think that, you know, they should call their local representatives and say, let's pass this legislation. I mean, that's the only way anything gets done on Long Island. We've also talked about this, Jay, too. We have a habit on Long Island not voting. We got to change that, because this is what happens when you have people who cannot get the, you know, seal the deal, so to speak.
Exactly right. You have elections coming up, and we tell people all the time. We'll talk a little today with one of our guests. We talk about it every day. We talked about it with the legislator of the 4th District yesterday, and Tom Muratori. People have to wake up. If they're not getting the job done, they should not get the next couple of years, okay, in office. And that's what it comes down to. It's stories like this, unfortunately, when they come out, they're eye-openers, Joe. They're eye-openers, and something needs to be done.
Well, yeah, and you think if you saw the towns, too. I mean, it just wasn't located in Central Islip.
All over.
It was all over Nassau County and Suffolk County. And they, you know, and the, like I said, the list of things, I encourage everyone to go online or get the newspaper today and look at the list of people. Now, you also take a look at this. This is also the initiative here of what ICE is doing. And I think it's also been the president's plan to embarrass a lot of local leaders, because these guys are living in your communities who should have been deported years ago.
Exactly. And you know, we talk about laws that are there but not enacted. You know, we're talking about Kate's Law. We're talking about sharing names. Now, I'm talking about, you know, with gangs and stuff and everything else. But people who are here illegally, Joe, I mean, that's also, it's under this umbrella as well. Let's face it.
Well, yes, like I said, that's why I think he's going to embarrass local leaders. And you know what? If everybody else in the country is not paying attention, if the elected leaders aren't paying attention to what happened here on Long Island in the last 10 days, it's coming to a town near you, too. And they're going to uncover this, and they're going to say, listen, these 12 guys were registered sex offenders that should have been deported, you know, years ago, and they're living within your communities. And here's the laundry list of crimes. Now, you have to fact check me on this one, Jay, but I believe a number of years ago, Suffolk County Police Department turned over their sexual offender monitoring unit. They civilianized it. So, you know, you need to check on that. If you have the commissioner on there, senior, you got to ask them about this, because this might be something to see how effective this has been. And, you know, what has the Suffolk County Police Department, Nassau County Police Department, what are they doing involving sexual offenders? Because, you know what, it's just not illegal aliens issues. This is something that we have a number of sexual offenders. If you look at the New York State sexual offender monitoring.
Right.
I mean, I think people would be absolutely shocked to see how many sexual offenders are living within your communities that you don't even know about.
And the schools and everything else. We talk about this all the time. But how about extending this registry from 20 to 30 years, Joe, so that these individuals like some of these 32, 12, by the way, were registered sex offenders, so that these individuals will not fall off the list. How many times do we have to talk about this?
Right.
How many
yeah.
times is it going to awaken the likes of a Carl Hastie, the speaker up in Albany? How many times?
Well, I can't answer that question for you, but, you know, here's the issue. I mean, I know people say, well, you know, some people deserve second chances. Well, if you look at these lists of crimes, if somebody had sex with a four-year-old, okay, I don't know if they're ever going to be rehabilitated. This is something that, you know, you have to get a psychologist or somebody else on here to discuss that, but I don't think that's going to be happening.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, you look at the president and his promise to deport those who run on the negative side of the law alongside those living illegally in this country. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to a lot of the stuff that he says here.
Well, he's actually doubling down on his promises here with the ICE immigration. I mean, if you look at the war that started with Chicago this weekend, right, with the mayor trying to sue the DOJ about the sanctuary city status, what's happening here on Long Island about the police departments here not wanting to go ahead with the federal immigration issues and notifications. I mean, this is, you know, it's happening. It's going to cause a lot of turmoil within communities, within police departments, and, of course, certainly with politicians.
Yeah, no question about it. But all in all, you know, again, an eye-opener. And by the way, you know, great job by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials. They've been working on this a while, this SOAR, Operation SOAR, Sex Offender Alien Removal Initiative. You know that this has been going on for quite some time. It was a 10-day period, ended last week, as agents really going across, you put it, all across Long Island. You know, not just really consolidated, Joe, in one area here, like Suffolk County, Central Islip, whatever. It's Nassau as well, all over.
Right, yeah. The issue that brought this to light was, of course, the MS-13 gang. But now it's like everything else. You open up Pandora's box, and now they're saying, okay, what else do we have? What other communities could be affected by this? And, you know, and law enforcement, they always start with what we use refer to as the low-hanging fruit, right, the easy ones. Here
yeah.
they are right in there in the wide open, living there. You can scoop them up pretty easily. They've been living there so long, doing things, no one's ever bothered them. And, you know, they're living normal lives. So this was actually, I think, easy stuff. It becomes more difficult now for law enforcement going forward because people are going to be running underground and trying to, you know, move around because they're worried about the next knock on the door now.
And by the way, you know, all ages here, you know, from 20-year-olds to a 55-year-old, Joe, I was reading of those apprehended. A 55-year-old Salvadoran man arrested in Copec, convicted of second-degree rape of a 12-year-old. Also a 21-year-old Haitian man arrested in Riverwood of prior convictions of promoting a sexual performance involving two 15-year-olds here. I mean, you have a wide range across the gambit here.
Right, and if you look at the number of countries, too, I mean, it's pretty wide, too. They're not just...
You had Honduras, you had Haiti, you had El Salvador.
Yep.
You had Guatemala involved here. You know, this is a wide range.
Yes.
All over the place. So interesting stuff. And we'll see what kind of an eye-opener it was. Again, we'll talk with Assemblyman Dean Murray tomorrow on this stuff. But Albany has to be on high alert at this point in time. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I think they're all sweating it out because there's a big elections coming up, right?
Big elections.
Yep. A lot of governors up for a re-election. And, you know, but this, if you look at this list, though, and you look at the crimes, it's really about protecting children, right? I know we like to, you know, throw the immigration, the illegal alien terms and all these other things out there, but it's about protecting children. I mean, look at the ages, 4-year-old, 12-year-old, 10-year-old. I mean, it's a little sickening.
It is sickening. Talking with Joe Jacklin, special edition of the Crime Report. I want to move to the drug situation. I know there was a big takedown, I think it was Friday, Joe, regarding $3 million worth of suspected fentanyl and heroin. This was the 20-pound seized, was that it? And this was troubling to me. You know, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. 20 pounds of heroin and fentanyl. I mean, you could wipe out half of New York City with this stuff.
amazing. I mean, even though it wasn't in our area too, there was in Yonkers, which was probably on its way to either, you know, New York City or Long Island. They arrested a couple of individuals in a parking lot with 10,000 glassine envelopes of heroin. 10,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary stuff. And by the way, this was used by an Uber driver transporting it. Is that right? Transporting it all through Manhattan?
Yes. And then if you think back a couple of weeks ago, I did an interview with Vice, you know, with it's owned by HBO,
yeah,
about cops posing as Uber drivers now. So I think that if you take that story and you take the one about transporting drugs, I think you can see the nexus between why cops are starting to pose as Uber drivers, because this is the way that drug dealers might be, you know, transporting their materials now.
Yeah, no question. I was reading on this particular case where you had the city special narcotics prosecutor, Bridget Brennan, who we've had on before, and stating that some of these drug envelopes stamped with a brand name. It actually said on the envelope, Uber. Quotes, Uber.
Yep.
And that driver among four arrested there, but pretty scary. You know, it's amazing as far as the creativity involved here, Joe Jacklone, and the fact the transportation and everything else involved in these latest of incidents, you know, it's not surprising. And that's what it is. It's trying to be as creative as possible to go under the radar, it seems here.
Yes, I mean, if you think about it, the Uber cars and the Lyft and all these other things, this is like their equivalent of the burner phones, right, where they knew the cops were looking at their cell phones, so they went and bought, you know, these throwaway phones for cash. Now they say, well, we know the cops are looking for our cars, but you know what? If I get into a different Uber cab every other hour, no one's ever going to be able to track me. So that's, you know, listen, the bad guys, they adapt to these things and new technology very quickly to avoid law enforcement. I mean, if you think about it, it's very smart, but, you know, we have to try to combat that now.
Talking with Joe Jacklone, special edition of the Crime Report. Just two quick ones from me, Joe. On the national level, a surprising case regarding the prisoner who was transported in the car, I guess overpowered the officer, took his gun, actually handcuffed that officer as this prisoner, last name was Powell, I believe, actually was on the run and showed up, I guess, at his parents' house. That's where he committed suicide. But this was a very, very dangerous guy that one not has to worry anymore.
Well, yeah, and you also have to wonder why, you know, you have only one person transporting somebody like that, too. And that corrections officer is lucky to be alive. I mean, if you saw that was in Georgia, right, they two guys killed two corrections officers while they were out on a chain gang.
Right.
So, you know, he's very lucky to be alive. And I'm sure initially investigators were looking at him as if this was a setup. So, because he wasn't, you know, shot. So this is something that they probably did. And yeah, unfortunately, you know, he kills himself. But the issue that comes down to is shows investigators this is the reason why, right? If somebody's on the lam, you go to mom's house, you go to a girlfriend's house. I mean, this is where they show up.
And you wonder, maybe these police officers need to be schooled a little bit. Maybe they ought to come to the Northeast and get some quick classes involved here. As you say, one officer on the transport, and thus the incident taking place there. Lucky that officer was not killed. And then the other incident at Missouri where finally this Ian McCarthy, Joe, was apprehended, right?
Yes. You know, and here's another example about we have to start doing a better job. In when I was a cop, I remember when I was a rookie cop, I remember the sergeant always saying there's two things that are always going to get you in trouble or dead, and that's prisoners and property. So you have to be very careful about these things, and, you know, you can't let your guard down. You can't be caught in a situation where you're not at the advantage. I mean, you hold on to – every time I watch TV, Jay, and I watch the cops, you know, bringing somebody in, you know, they're not even holding on to the guy. You know, they're letting him walk by himself. I mean, you're asking for a foot race there eventually.
No question. You look at that prison in Alabama where you had all those escapees and I guess peanut butter of all things, peanut butter, Joe, put over the door lock, and the signage, I guess, was a bit confusing to personnel there in locking the wrong door. I mean, that was as comical as could be.
Sure. I think 10 of them escaped on that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, and when we're talking some seriously bad people, too. This isn't like, you know, they were stealing candy bars. I mean, some of these guys were murderers. Listen, I think if we saw what happened in Dannemora in upstate New York, whatever, a couple of years ago, remember that one? The issue that comes down to is that we have to have better supervision of what the corrections officers are doing.
No question. You're talking about those two escapees there.
Right. We had up in New York a couple of years ago. Remember that? I mean, it went on for a month.
Absolutely, in upstate there. Joe, good stuff. We'll talk to you in your normal slot on Friday.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
All righty.